The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Monday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, the DraftKings Network. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin in the house. Congratulations, Kelly. Congratulations to all who had the Chiefs yesterday. Well done, sir.
Thanks. I mean, I think this was, when we talk about betting the side, wasn't it like it was two weeks of like, I feel like it was a win by the betting community and the smart bettors out there of 2 weeks of being like, hey, the side, I don't really. Did you really feel like you heard anybody you respected be like, this side, really, I'm hammering
it? No, it was 2 weeks of me saying, here's the case for this with the check marks. Here's the case of this with the, you know, how the line was.
So one of, you know, somebody had to be kind of lucky to get home. I got kind of lucky to get home with the Chiefs side. There's nothing about that. I mean, the people I'm feeling bad out there for today is anybody that bet an under on 46.5. Late.
Yeah. And under late.
Because that was the dead-on best bet of the game.
If ever there was a number that mattered, there is case in point. Let's do this guessing line style. We will we'll go through it play by play, and then we'll get into it. So much to say about so much here, including the decision to receive in overtime. I have much to say about this because I think people, shocker, are missing the mark, right? Because we don't do nuance in this business.
It's fascinating to me. I'm just going to tease that. I don't mean you have not talked about it at all. I'm interested to see what you have to say. I think like you're talking about, the reaction is interesting. There's a lot of, I love the new rule. I love the new rule, though.
Let's headline this game with this. The irony being that the San Francisco 49ers won two postseason games that they had no business winning, and then they probably lost a Super Bowl that they had no business losing. We begin. San Francisco gets the ball first. First and 10 at their own. First and 10, they matriculate to the Kansas City 29. McCaffrey hit by Leo Chenal. Fumbles recovered by Karlaftis. First blown opportunity for the Niners. Kansas City, though, can't do anything with it. Three and out. San Francisco follows with a punt. KC can't do anything with a punt. And they must punt, rather, right after that. Then Moody with a 55-yard field goal, which at that moment was a Super Bowl record, to put the Niners up 3-0, opening seconds of the second quarter. Kansas City then first and 10 at their own 38. Mahomes to Hardman for 52, where Tayshaun Gibson Sr. just kind of stopped.
Yeah.
It's like, where's the ball? And Blake Lively's fine ass says to Taylor Swift, be quiet. Although she didn't use those words. Next play. I'm sorry, what? What did I say? Next play, Pacheco hit by Diamador Lenore. Chiefs return the favor. He fumbles, recovered by Javon Hargrave, and Kelce runs into Big Red. He's like, keep me in the game. It wouldn't have happened. How did that get not more juice?
Oh, that was weird. That was weird.
Oh, jeez.
I also don't know, like, it was Andy Reid got blind. Like, how much was it him getting blindsided? Or, like, did Kelce really give that much force going into his head coach? Where Reid did the whole, like, whoa.
Either way, it was like, they didn't do that to Bill Parcells back in the day. San Francisco punts then. And that is when, we're already here. You know, this is where Greenlaw gets hurt.
Oh, man.
Where non-contact, making his way back onto the field with the Niners up 3-0, just having recovered the fumble. Clear Achilles pop right there. Brutal. Just absolutely brutal on the biggest stage. And what can you do?
One of the worst injuries I can remember in a game of that magnitude. Are you kidding me? Like, that is ridiculous. Mike Somachon on the end of the show today, I'm sure will be the last 30 minutes of the show, will be full Achilles talk.
Full Achilles talk. I've never mentioned my popping of Achilles. Kansas City, excuse me. So then this is San Francisco punts, by the way. That's when Greenlaw gets hurt after the fumble recovery. Then Kansas City comes in. This is where Chase Young, who had already had a sack of Mahomes earlier, induces an intentional grounding on first down. That ends up being another three and out for the Chiefs. Chiefs can't do anything. And at this moment of the game, early second quarter, Chase Young's probably your MVP for a fleeting moment of this ballgame. San Francisco then matriculates. 8 plays, 67 yards. This is the one that ends. Jawan Jennings to McCaffrey. Trickeration, where the ball was up in the air, it seemed like for an eternity. Yeah. From 21 out, touchdown. And there is your two-score lead. The only one of the game. And I've been saying for 2 weeks, boy, it's going to be tough to come back from a two-score game. man, the Niners had so many more opportunities to get up two scores. This was the only time they had it. 4:23 left in the second quarter. That's the first touchdown pass from a wideout since Anton Randall did it for the Steelers against the Seahawks so many years ago. Big play, big key thing of that play, Spencer Burford with a great block on Nick Bolton that allowed McCaffrey to just sit there and get the ball. Butker would answer with a 28-yard field goal to make it 10-3. The Chiefs' first points were with 20 seconds left in the half. By the way, Field Yates mentioning that Juwan Jennings joining Nick Foles is the only player to ever throw and catch a touchdown in the same Super Bowl. 20 seconds left in the half. Remember, Kyle Shanahan using a timeout way too late in that sequence. And the half would end because then he just does the draw play to McCaffrey. Yeah. So 10-3 Niners. Third quarter, Kansas City first play. Brutal beginning. Pacheco fumbles the pitch. Little fumble luck, though. They land on it. Loss of 12. Two plays later, Mahomes overthrows Kelsey, picked by Jair Brown. And the Niners can't do anything with it. A three and out. Mitch Wisnowski punt, though, pinned at the two by Chris Conley. Kansas City, another three and out. Pacheco stuffed for no gain by Javon Kinlaw on third and one at their own 11. It's Kansas City's 16th straight drive without a touchdown at that point. 10:45 left in the third quarter, but it's still 10-3 because San Francisco goes three and out as Shanahan just gets away from the run. The first six plays of the second half with two golden opportunities, six passes. I know plays five and six, they kind of had to pass because they were behind the chains, but man, oh man, was that a, again, just a little bit of a lapse there from Shanahan. Debo pulls his hammy. He would return. Greenlaw, we knew at this point, had ruptured his Achilles. Purdy's knee had buckled earlier on a horse collar. CMC's knee had gotten wrenched on tackle earlier. Now Debo's hammy. The Niners, with the exception of Greenlaw, all would go on. Butker, 57-yard field goal then with 5:01 left in the third quarter to cut the lead to 10-6. Just an absolutely great hold by Tommy Townsend off a high Winchester snap. Then San Francisco now only up four, three and out. Kansas City would have a three and out, but this is arguably the biggest play of the game. They punt. It hits Darrell Luter in the back of the foot. Ray-Ray McCloud can't corral it once he sees that. Jalen Watson recovers. And then the first play from scrimmage. Mahomes to MVS from 16 out. Touchdown. Chiefs first lead of the game, 13-10 with 2:28 left in the third quarter.
Official momentum swing moment.
Did you think Nance and Romo?
I hope you're going where I think you're going.
Just didn't have the excitability you were looking for in these moments. I just felt they were subdued.
Well, there was some of that. Yes. And we also didn't text about this at all because we've given the guy a lot of hard time. I felt like Romo was very roller coaster-y last night.
Yeah,
he was
better than sometimes.
He had some great, I actually think some good moments, and then he had some terrible moments. But that punt you're just talking about, like, it was clear as day to me. Clear. Like, oh, it hit clear. One of the players, and they were seemingly so confused by that for like 2 minutes.
To me, it was just a general malaise they kind of had. Like, I felt like if it was Ian Eagle, it would have been bigger all these moments.
I agree.
San Francisco Feliciano got hurt on the first play of the next drive. The Niners still would matriculate, though. Juszczyk with 2 yards on second one.
2 yards?
At the KC 44. Last play of the third quarter. Big plus 270 for both of us there. But 4th-3 at the Kansas City 15, 12:47 to go. Shanahan decides to go for it. I was shocked that he did because it's not like him, but he did. Purdy to Kittle for four. First down. Two plays later, Purdy to Jennings from 10 out. Touchdown. 16-13, but Moody's PAT blocked. They gave it to Leo Chenault. I thought Mike Dana did it, but 16-13 with 11:22 left in the first in the fourth quarter. Kansas City then matriculates. And this was the stage of the game where Kansas City just couldn't be stopped. First and goal to four. They were stopped at the end. Pacheco stuffed, then an incomplete pass, then a sack. They have to settle for a Butker 24-yard field goal. That knots it up at 16 apiece. That was the drive that early Mahomes threw a ball right in the middle of the field to no one, and no intentional grounding was called. Nance and Romo didn't even mention anything. 16-16, 5:46 left. Romo goes to commercial by saying, "We got ourselves a finish in the Super Bowl. I know you like that." I think he was talking to Jim. I wasn't sure. San Francisco, they started their own 25. To Jennings for 23. Debo for 9. McCaffrey for 3. CMC for 5. It's 2nd and 5 to Kittle for 0. That's a big play where you wonder, should they have run in retrospect second and five? Because if they get the first down here, the game is effectively going to be a moody field goal for the win. 2 minute warning. Third and four, the Kansas City 35. Spags brings the house incomplete. Moody from 53, though. Good.
Yeah.
Making up a bit for that missed extra point. 19-16 San Francisco, 1:53 to go. Kansas City has two timeouts left. They get it to first and 10 at their own 36 with 40, excuse me, at the San Francisco 36 with 40 seconds left. One timeout left. But Mahomes' three-yard run puts them behind the eight ball in terms of trying to get into the end zone after a throwaway to Kelce for 22 down to the 11. 10 seconds left. Incomplete to Kelce, and with 6 seconds left, Butker's 29-yard field goal knots it up at 19 apiece. We're going to overtime after San Francisco kneels on it. Remember, that's after Romo said, ooh, that extra second to get it to 10 seconds is big because now they can get two plays in. But as soon as it went to 6 seconds, he's like, oh, you can't risk it. Kick the field goal. 19 all. We go to overtime. San Francisco calls tails. They win the toss. They receive. Trent McDuffie called for a defensive hold on third and long. Remember that, because that got the Niners out of jail at the time. And I'm thinking that's going to be the key play of this whole game. They do matriculate to a moody 27-yard field goal. 22-19 San Francisco, 7:22 left in the first overtime period. Then Kansas City, fourth and inches, just shy of their own 35. They have no choice but to go down three. Pacheco, after Pacheco was corralled on third and one by Hargrave, Mahomes for six. Next play, though, Valdez-Scantling thrown back by, I can't remember who it was, the license plate on the Niner, but he was 5 yards forward. It turns into a four-yard loss, second and 14. But on third and seven, Mahomes to Rice two plays later on third and seven gets them out of that predicament for 13. They get it to first and goal at the 3.5. Mahomes to Hardman, touchdown, ball game, 25-22 Chiefs, seventh longest game in the history of the National Football League and the third Super Bowl title for Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs in 5 years, their fourth appearance, but their third title. And besides Brady now is seven. And I know Montana and Bradshaw both have four. But you got to think that only Brady stands above Mahomes at this point. We'll talk about every detail next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you haven't already, check out the new VSiN.com. It's all about all the props that cashed, all the props that didn't cash yesterday. Controversial props, if you will. Check out the new VSiN.com today. By the way, controversial prop, we were just talking off air about longest kickoff return.
Yeah.
There was no kickoff return, and so bets got voided. All the unders thought they were going to win that, but in some shops it gets voided.
That's rough.
Yeah, that's rough.
That's rough. I know that was one of Matt Brown's bets. There was some people tweeting back and forth on it today.
So
that's tough. I mean, that's part of the. I thought that was part of the handicap for sure.
Yeah. So I lose my final exacta. The Niners to beat the Chiefs. You will recall before the championship games, I said to you, I go, well, I've got the Niners to beat the Ravens. I got the Niners to beat the Chiefs, and I got the Ravens to beat the Niners. So clearly, the Chiefs will beat the Niners in the Super Bowl. Did hit Patrick Mahomes rushing yards over 26.5. Did hit the Christian McCaffrey -160 most receiving and rushing yards.
Those are easy.
Did hit the Juszczyk one, which is not listed here, at +270 over half a yard. Did not obviously hit the exacta or the MVPs, and didn't get the opening kickoff to be a touchback. But we knew that was dead, or I knew that was dead as soon as Butker was the one kicking it off. Right, that was the calculus there. So three props cash. Including the +270, so not bad there. But the exactas all die along with the Eagle futures earlier. So thank God for tennis being up 14.5 units on the season to make it palatable and it really just sort of being a wash at this point. You had, on all yours, you end up 6-5 on yours.
Yeah, it was pretty good. The Pacheco ones, that hurt. But, still a winning day, so. Hard to complain about that. Obviously, the blue gate, and Kyle Juszczyk anytime touchdown.
Those are huge.
Weren't huge bets. So, but Pacheco and Kittle were not great. That those didn't get home. Getting the Juszczyk, but big plus money. That was nice. We got the Mahomes rushing ones over, and then all the Chiefs stuff. It ended up a winning small winning Super Bowl for me. It would have been about break even if the Chiefs lost. You know what I mean?
So let's talk about let's start with the overtime decision.
Okay.
Let's get this out of the way. So this is
Wait, can I go to the play before that?
Please.
Did you not think at all that Chiefs had enough time to try to run one more play?
With 6 seconds left?
Yeah.
Well, this was what I was talking about in the recap there. Romo, you know, because they made it from 9 seconds to 10 seconds. Romo was very clear about saying, oh, that's big because then I can get two plays in and then still kick a field goal if they need to. But as soon as it went from 10 to 6, he was like, oh, you got to kick it. So he completely changed
his mind.
Yeah, I mean, they did probably, for sure. I mean, that play ran 4 seconds, so yes. But do you, on the off chance something happens and you use it up, I can't make a huge deal about
that. I think that it's one. I just think it's one of the things that's going to fly under the radar. I was losing my mind a bit over it. Like, it is, for everybody that's going to sit on shows and everything around the country today and talk about how Patrick Mahomes is a golden god, and he absolutely is, I'm trusting him in that situation to make the right decision with those six seconds left.
A golden god. Okay, so here's how I would characterize this game. If it were, how can I put this? If it were a game in the middle of a 10 a.m. window on Sunday, and we were doing our standard guessing lines, without the stakes, without all the bets, with all our prop bets, without the legacies, right? Let's say this is a Saints-Bucks game in an early window, but the game script is exactly as it is. I don't think we do even a whole segment on it. I think halfway through the segment, I go, Kelly, next? Because I was asked yesterday, like, where does this rank? Will was kind enough to have me on his podcast. And he asked me, where does the Super Bowl rank amongst all Super Bowls? And I said, well, just by virtue of the fact that it went to overtime, and it's only the second overtime game of all time, the Patriots-Falcons famously being the first, also involving Kyle Shanahan. We'll get to legacies here momentarily. It's immediately top half because of the competitive nature of it. But, like, is it an all-timer top five? No. Like, I'm struggling. You think about iconic plays in Super Bowl history. We didn't have one yesterday. Like, it was just kind of this game where, by the way, I don't think Shanahan made, like, even one of his Mount Rushmore errors yesterday.
I agree.
Right?
I agree.
Like, yes, was it a body of work where maybe they should have run on the second and five when they went to Kittle, when they had a chance to just sort of ice the game away? Sure. Should they have called a timeout earlier at the end of the first half? Sure. Getting now to this overtime thing, let me just wedge this into the conversation. So this is going to be a major talking point throughout all sports media today, and I don't know if you know this about sports media, but they're kind of black and white. They don't do nuance very well, right? They don't do gray areas. And I want to just harken back to last week or 2 weeks ago, rather, Championship Sunday with the Lions, where I just kind of emphasized some things are subjective and some things are objective. So when Dan Campbell goes for it on fourth down and then he goes for it on the subsequent fourth down rather than kicking field goals, I thought he should have kicked field goals, but that doesn't make me right. Those are subjective decisions. When he ran the ball, when he had all three timeouts with a minute left and had to waste that timeout, running there was the last thing you should have done. That is objectively wrong. Just like when he went for two against Dallas from the 7 was objectively wrong. Just like Kyle Shanahan, the way that he played out the first half against the Packers was objectively wrong. Some things are opinions. Some things are just wrong. This thing about receiving for overtime in the postseason is not objectively wrong. It is subjective. Now, here's the thing. There are reports this morning, I think first by the Ringer.
Well, keep going. You want me to add those in there? Yes, it was the Ringer. It was the Ringer.
Okay. So there are reports that the Niners did not talk about the new overtime postseason rules, that they were not prepped for this, whereas the Chiefs had done so. Now, let me just give you an example.
Well, and it was the player, some of the players confused on the rules. Shanahan knew exactly
doing. Let me finish. Let me go through my whole spiel. You're cutting me off here. You're right. These are all the nuances. These are all the nuanced parts of this, because one thing can be true, but that doesn't mean the other stuff is wrong. Exactly what you're saying. So just to give you an idea, Steve Fezzik and I, when we went to, you know, he's like, hey, you want to come at Caesars? You know, this is a month and a half ago. Well, we're on treadmills. Steve Fezzik and I are talking about, hey, when the postseason comes, how do you think teams should optimally play the overtime? If we are talking about it in a gym in December, the Niners ought to have talked about that. Okay, but what you said, Kelly, is right. Shanahan knew exactly what he was doing. And the answer to the question is, for those who are saying, oh, you absolutely have to defer. By the way, when the rules changed, most of the articles say this gives teams an opportunity to defer because then you'll know what the other team does. The reason that Shanahan receives, though, is he believes, and I subscribe to this, that having the ball third, potentially, still trumps all of the other reasons. Not massively, but incrementally so. It is still the correct move. By the way, if your defense is tired too, you could throw that in the mix, whatever. All the other subjective reasons. But it is not like college, where it is fair ups from the plus 25. Ron Flatter texted me, right? He thought he was so, he was like, oh, and then when the Niners end up kicking the field goal on the first possession of overtime, he goes, and that's why you defer. I'm like, that's not why you defer, Ron. It's not like college. He's like, it's just like college. It's not just like college. Neither answer is 100% correct. Here's what is objectively what you're supposed to do. If the Niners do score a touchdown, they absolutely kick the extra point. That's what you have to do. And then the Chiefs must respond with a six and then try to go for the two-point conversion. But that's part of the Niners' strategy of kicking an extra point if they score a touchdown, forcing you to go for the two, because you have to succeed twice, in other words. And if the other team doesn't do that, right, if they match you, you get the ball in the sudden death situation. So that is why Kyle Shanahan did what he did. There's going to be a bunch of people today are going to say all over the place how wrong that was. It's not wrong. It didn't work out for them, but it's not wrong.
Yeah, agreed. I think that there is I love the new rule because I think that there is the way that I first took it. I was surprised when he received a little bit. But the more I was thinking about it last night, kind of like you said, I don't know that there is, it's not a black and white thing. It's not. I just don't think it's, I do think, like you mentioned the defense. I do think that's fair in situations like this going forward. If teams feel that way, hey, my defense is gassed, I got to get my offense out there. I think you can kind of make an argument for either side here. Everybody just going black and white, this is like college football. It's not the case because it does turn into sudden death again.
That's right.
So that obviously having that third possession is a bit of an advantage.
Completely different.
On the flip side, I understand the argument of knowing what you have to get if you kick off and defer, right? Knowing that basically you might have an extra down available to you, right? That if you know you have to go for it on fourth, it opens up the playbook, opens up play calling of what you can do. I get both sides. I think it's very situational. I love the new rule because of that. I don't think it's black and white of whether you should be kicking it or taking the ball.
Yes, is it strange that the Niners hadn't talked about it? It is.
That part's weird.
But yes. Shanahan knew exactly what he was doing. You can disagree with it, but it doesn't make you right, just like it doesn't make me right thinking Dan Campbell should have kicked field goals. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't. Some things are opinion and some things are objectively right or wrong. We'll come back. What about the legacies here? Specifically that of the Niners moving forward as well. Coming up, Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you're looking for a betting edge on college baloncesto, that's basketball. VSiN experts have got you covered. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber with an introductory offer of only $9.99. Subscribe today and get our daily best bet emails, 24/7 video access, the upcoming college hoops betting guide, bracket breakdowns, plus full access to VSiN.com with our exclusive betting split breakdowns on every game. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe today to sign up for only $9.99. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. That's the only good thing about like the NFL season extending further out is that we're that much closer to conference tournaments. It's like a stone's throw.
Mm-hmm.
So when I get back, we'll be right on top of it. We get tweets at Beating the Book. I can't possibly read all of these, but I'll read some. This is from James Sott. Thank you for already mentioning how fine Blake Lively looked yesterday. You are welcome. Last name Nash. The highlight of the game was seeing that Blake Lively is still a dime. Wish he joined Taylor all year for Chiefs games. Motor City Mike. It's another one of those great moments in time we can look back and say, wow, I got Mahomes 3 postseason games in a row at plus money and I crushed it. I doubled down at halftime. I also cashed Hardman, longest air catch at 80-1. What a run. Good for you, Motor City Mike.
Wow.
Kevin Ryan. Gil, it's long past time the Purdy critics and naysayers move the bleep on. That kid is a top 5. Woo. NFL quarterback. And thank you to Rest for not being the story this morning. Thank you to the Rest for sure. I won't go top 5, but I will go top 10. And certainly, Brock Purdy was not the reason they lost that football game yesterday. Niners definitely have their quarterback. Cowboys underscore Cubs won. My first thought after seeing Greenlaw go down with the Achilles injury was Todd Wishnev's voice saying, "Hey, Gil, oh, hey, Dre, you're not going to be needing your helmet anymore. You mind giving me that?" Which, of course, is a reference to Wishnev wanting his tennis balls back. Matthew Mayberry, they missed a false start on the McDuffie hold on third down play. Did anyone else see that? I saw missed false starts multiple times in that game.
Okay, that holdings, there were multiple missed holding calls, yes. I saw it, which, as long as you call consistently, I'm fine.
Or don't call consistently.
Which they did, yeah, in my opinion, right? They didn't call either one of those really much at all throughout the game. I thought there was false starts. I thought there were holdings that weren't called. I'm okay with it.
Chris, Gil, to your point, Nance announces football like he's in the 18th tower at Augusta. He actually shows more excitement in golf. Sounds like he's just collecting a check and doesn't care about the game. Oh, I think he cares. I think he cares deeply, and Jim Nance is phenomenal. But I just felt like yesterday, for whatever reason, they just didn't capture the moment with excitement. And I think if they listened back, they might feel the same way. Dukes in the PNW, is there a case to be made, Gil, that Moody or Butker is the MVP if the game ended with a field goal versus a Mahomes touchdown? Record-breaking clutch. And by the way, a couple tweets about Brock Purdy's rushing yards. Jeff Staples saying the over was my worst beat of all time, and Ben McGovern saying shout out to Purdy for the last second kneel down, which pushed his rushing total under 12.5. The better life. Now that the Super Bowl is over, I'm excited for a numbers game wall-to-wall coverage on the MLS season starting next week. back to the MVP talk. If the Niners win, who is most likely the MVP? Juwan Jennings? 300-1?
Well, when do they win? That's the big question, right?
In overtime. Let's say they win it in overtime with let's say the defense makes the stop at the end and they win it 22-19. Who's the MVP? Jennings over McCaffrey, probably?
Probably, but I think you could make, I mean, if it ended there, I think you could make a case for McCaffrey, Jennings, or so, you know, some people would make the case for Purdy, too.
If Moody doesn't miss the extra point, you could make a case for him, but he did. So you can't, he probably,
I don't know if I would have ever considered him for the San Francisco, because it would have been Jennings up to that point.
Yeah.
Right? Like it was, I think there's a, I was asking you when, because I think if that game ends in regulation, you could make an argument. It's either Jennings for San Francisco or Butker for Kansas City, which just would have been wild.
What about the legacy here? Like, so obviously Patrick Mahomes, we talked about 3 Super Bowl titles in 5 years. He's 28 years old. And yes, while Montana and Bradshaw each have won 4, really, to me, only Tom Brady's 7 can you make a case for better than this guy. And Brady's is a cerebral one, right? 7. But he has 7 is 7. I mean, Mahomes isn't even halfway there in terms of titles. But he is 28 years old. And I think the lesson for me from the Chiefs standpoint is a lesson that perhaps I should have learned, and maybe everybody else should have learned. Maybe you have learned it, which is getting back to that game on Christmas when they got crushed by the Raiders and Aiden O'Connell didn't complete a pass in the last 3 quarters of that football game. And again, if you had said to anybody watching that Chiefs team in that moment, don't worry, they're still going to win the Super Bowl, you'd have laughed. You'd have been like, come on, get out of here. Yep. So what is the lesson? The lesson is, dude is Michael Jordan, and we have to remember that no matter where next year in an 18-week, 17-game arc, no matter how bad this team looks, because really the handicapping tenet is always no team is as good as they look 1 week or as bad as they look right. 1 week. Well, how about this for the Chiefs? No, the Chiefs are never as bad as they look, even if it's a stretch of games. They are always live to win it all. And I think, what does that do in terms of a bet? Like, should we bet the Chiefs right now at 7-1 to win it all and just have it in your betting account? Because you're never going to get a better number. And even if they have a dip and you can get an incrementally better, still just take the 7-1. They're never done. And this was, and the reason that I put Mahomes over Bradshaw in Montana, Bradshaw in an era when he had Stallworth and Swan and Franco and they had the steel curtain defense, in an era where they were just so dominant, he had players all around him. Same thing with Montana in the greatest system of all time with Jerry Rice and John Taylor and Roger Craig and all those guys under Bill Walsh. This dude just won a Super Bowl with nobody skill-wise. I mean, Pacheco, good, right? But, like, he's got no wideouts. He had to play a completely different type of football this year where it was a defensively strong team. And Mahomes figured out a way. Now, by the way, he could have lost all the ones that he won. He also, you know, like, that's possible, but he didn't.
Yeah.
You could also make a case that he could have won more. Niners are still the short shot to win it next year at plus 550, followed by the Chiefs at plus 650, what we're showing right here at DraftKings. Ravens and Bills at 9-1 and plus 950 are the only other two teams in single digits. The Lions begin the double-digit parade with the Bengals at 12-1. So I think that's the big lesson for the Chiefs is no matter how bad they look at any point in the season, they're live, period. As for the Niners, I know they're the short shot at plus 550, but this at least... Will said to me yesterday he's already relating it to the Buffalo Bills of the 90s. I can't go that far yet. They've only lost two Super Bowls, not four. Same thing with the Vikings of the 70s who lost four. But between these two Super Bowls against the Chiefs and Shanahan squandering as the offensive coordinator the 28-3 lead with the Falcons against the Patriots, I will certainly go as far as to say something's got to be in his head at this point. Like, it's got to be there. There's no, you're not human if it's not.
Without a doubt.
And that's the thing. Like, the Niners window is finite too, right? Like, it doesn't last forever. You have this stacked, unbelievable offense that what do we say about Super Bowls? You either win it with a Hall of Famer or with a rookie quarterback on a contract where you can build around him. That's what the Niners had. And Mahomes still beat him.
Mahomes is amazing. He's absolutely amazing. I'm going to go back to Kansas City real quick. Please. I think it is the... We talked about it a lot. A lot of the teams out there, if you had a chance to win, you know, to beat these guys, it was probably this year, and you didn't get it done, and the Chiefs win another Super Bowl. The one thing that I will say going through this playoff stretch, especially, Gil, is that we knew that the defense was really good. What Spags and company put on display through the playoffs was one of the greater performances I've seen in a playoff run ever by a defense. And that was, so is Mahomes ever going to have a defense to this quality again? I don't know. I don't know that he will, but it's also very hard to imagine that his offensive players, the skill set, skill players that he's going to have are going to be this poor ever again. So it is, watch out for everybody in the AFC. We say it every time with him, but Burrow's great. There's some great players there.
The Burrow point needs to be made because Burrow will be back.
Yes, he will.
And while, you know, we say this about the window on a team like the Niners, you could say the window thing about the Ravens, right?
Mm-hmm.
Lamar Jackson still young, but not getting any younger. Josh Allen and the Bills, that window is finite. Everybody's window's finite. It's just that some are more finite than others. And the Bengals seem to have the longest runway still with Burrow being a young tyke.
Yep.
So him coming back is obviously a big deal as a potential roadblock. And he's the one dude. He's that dude, right, as they say. He's the one dude that doesn't feel like he can't overcome. And so there's that. But, man, it's a – that's the biggest thing about this for the Niners. Like – you can't have this group together forever. And that they couldn't put it over the top here, having so many opportunities. I mean, that's the biggest, besides the whole thing about the irony is that they won two playoff games they had no business winning and they lost the Super Bowl they had no business losing. It is that latter point where it's like they had so many opportunities in this game, it felt like, to go up two scores or to ice it late. And they could never get it done. And the Chiefs deserve all kinds of credit. You bring up Spags. That's his fourth Super Bowl as a coordinator. Obviously, the Giants being the other one with the Giants prior to him getting a head coaching job. More Super Bowl 58. Mike Somich will join us. Jason Weingarten will join us. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This week on DraftKings Sportsbook, new customers can deposit $5 and get a no-sweat bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet loses. Download the app and use promo code VSiN when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Kelly, no surprise that people are in disagreement about Shanahan receiving in overtime. And again, I'm just going to say it one last time. It ain't black and white, people. You're not right. Doesn't make you right. I'm not saying I'm right. What I'm saying is there is room for both to be justified. And the people who are adamantly saying that it was the wrong move for him to receive, I'm sorry, I just disagree with you. And I'm curious how many of those people who say that didn't think about it in the moment, but just figured, like, afterwards, based on result, were like, I was wrong. Steven Vegas says, on the Ringer OT news, Peter King did a drive to work with Andy Reid. It started at 3 a.m. With Kyle, it started at 7 a.m. Reid, with extra 4 hours a day, checks every box, including players knowing OT rules. When that aired, people ask if Kyle was all in. Maybe he's not. It's an interesting point.
Well, what time they go to bed, though?
Kelly Bidlin. This is why Kelly is here, everybody. That is as good a retort as anything I could have thought of right there. That's right.
I mean, great if one guy wakes up 4 hours earlier, but that's if right. He went to bed 4 hours earlier.
That's right. Maybe Andy Reid was in bed by 6:30, but the oily boy. Okay. It is, listen, well, I'll say it again. Fez and I talked about it in December, casually. I don't know if you know this, we're not coaches in the NFL. Right? So, like, the fact that he didn't discuss it with his team, talking about Shanahan, absolutely a little like, you probably should.
Yeah.
You should probably dot your I's and cross your T's.
That part was odd.
Now, I get it. He still had his strategy in his head, but, like, you know, let the team in on it. It's funny. Well, let's see here. Fezzik actually texting in. He said, all right, we'll get back to that later. Well, I'm curious if he was talking in about that.
Yeah, so I saw him go. He was going off on the Twitter machine last night.
He agrees. So he says, yeah, they should receive.
Yeah,
but it gets into nuance. I don't think it's a massively better decision to receive it. I do think it is an incrementally better one. And again, people are going to disagree about some of the novelty props. So we did the whole Reba McEntire deep dive on her national anthem history, how she had been doing them super duper slow. If you had heard a Numbers Game special edition yesterday, Kelly and I did the show on the run up to the game, to the kickoff yesterday. By then we had already said, and I was talking on the show yesterday, her rehearsals were over 90 seconds. Does she end up cashing the over for people? The over, I think she went, 127 in the end? What was the number? That was earlier in the week.
It was originally 126 and a half.
Yeah, originally, right? It's an over.
So I missed this, and I missed the halftime show, but I did because I was running downstairs from the studio, went downstairs to the Visa offices over at Circa.
Yeah.
We had a great little conference room set up. Myself, Stephanie Kramershack, Mike Somich, Matt Brown, watching the game. So Somich was explaining it to me, but wasn't there a double... double at the end or something
brave.
Like that.
She braved it twice, I think.
And he was saying something, I guess, that it's supposed to stop on the first brave.
Yeah, so a little controversy.
Yeah, so I don't know. If you bet on it.
I didn't hear it. I was en route to home.
Right, yeah, you were rushing home. So, both of us missed it.
But Flatter had texted me the same thing. He's like, do we time it at the end of the first brave or the end of the second brave?
Mike said they time it at the end of the first. And it was, so then it was tight, I think, if it was at the end of the first.
And then Ursher at the half. Did you like the halftime show?
I missed it. I was really in the car.
You were driving.
That's right. Yeah. We finished the show.
Yeah.
Gil Bolts, we were talking about this off air. Gil Bolts home. I go downstairs. And of course, you watch the beginning of that game. And I'm like, why didn't I do what Gil did? I'm an idiot. I should have left. And then, like, I'm getting close to halftime. And I'm like, okay, this is it. I can leave right now, right before halftime. Halftime's going to be forever. I can get home. And, like, luckily that worked out perfectly, too. Like, I walked in my place. I had missed the first drive of the third quarter. I'm like, somehow we both did it right. It was okay. We didn't miss anything.
Yeah, I even was able to rewind and watch, you know, because I only missed a couple drives. So it worked out well that way for me. But, yeah, you're right. I mean,
I didn't see a second of the halftime show, though. And I know I feel like there was as much talk about that last night.
I mean, what can I say about Ursher? Like I said, you know, before when he was first announced, I didn't realize, and I've known Ursher since the first album, right? Since the first time we ever became aware of him, when he was like an L.A. babyface kid. And I, you know, I never perceived him as a Super Bowl halftime worthy artist. I never thought he was that global, but apparently I'm wrong. His show here is, by all accounts, spectacular. The roller skating part, which people got to see at halftime yesterday, is the signature part of it, where he's like dancing on roller skates. He's like a Michael Jackson worthy dancer to begin with, but he does it on skates, which is just just ridiculous.
So I saw people tweeting about that. I guess I didn't assume that meant Usher was on roller skates.
Oh yeah, Usher puts on the skates, then he takes them off later. So anyway,
what would happen to you if you hopped on roller skates right now?
Bro, I wouldn't make it to the Sigma Derby.
It'd be like the Scooby-Doo.
Especially if you made me try to dance like Usher, then I wouldn't even make it halfway to Sigma Derby. I'd be like, I'm sorry. So we talked about all the stuff. I got on the on Captain Jack's Super Stream on Saturday. I had the answer key. And then there's controversy on the answer key, too. So I said, by the way, I hope everybody cashed on Alicia Keys. I mentioned here during the show during the week, I was like, look, I know the dude who runs Apple Music. He can pick up the phone and call Alicia Keys. She'll be right there. It was 4-1 at the time she was there. So that one cashed for everybody who was able to bet that. And I didn't bet any of these because these are in a faraway place and there's super low limits on this. But the other stuff I said on Captain Jack's was not only will it be Alicia Keys, Lil Jon, and Luda, but...
Wait, was Luda there or not there?
I don't know.
Okay, I heard someone recapping and they didn't mention Ludacris at all.
He might not have been.
Sean says he was there.
Okay. He was there. Okay, he was there. So all three, all that intel was right. The last song I had is Yeah. That intel was correct. There would be no new songs performed. That intel was correct. And then the biggest thing of all of them, and I said this on his super stream, and I said it yesterday on a numbers game special Super Bowl run-up edition, I said the first song is going to be My Way. Well, they played the background vocals of My Way for about 5 seconds, and then he goes into Caught Up. So I think Caught Up was what was graded as the first song. So it wasn't like the intel was bad. It was just, it's one of these things where it's like, oh, God.
I didn't see it, so I didn't know that's what happened.
By the way, when I say background, I mean super, super muted background, too, but you could hear it.
But you could tell what it was.
Oh, it was My Way.
Yeah.
For those who know, it was My Way. It was My Way.
Yeah. I didn't see that. I didn't see any of that. But it's like another reason where I'm just like the halftime shows have become that, right? It's such a jumble of like the, you know, quick hit of like 20 seconds of one song to boom, boom, boom. Like they keep it moving and you're betting on something that is so black and white, right? Of like, hey, this will be the very first song.
Yeah.
And I feel like in recent years we've had kind of stuff like that.
Coldplay did like 45 seconds of one song and then they went to something else.
And I just think I'm not going to say, look, it's not something people shouldn't bet on, but it's just keep in mind every time you go to make a bet on it each year that this stuff happens.
Well, also, I wasn't aware that the limits had crashed. Oh, by the way, there is Luda on set. I wasn't aware that.
obviously ludicrous. Yeah, never mind.
I wasn't aware because back in the day when we were talking, when Bruno Mars was there, I was like, oh, he's going to have a pompadour hair. He's going to wear it as a pompadour. It was like plus money because I had just seen him somewhere else. He had it. He's not wearing a hat and ruining that hairdo. At that time, even then, you could still bet like 200, 250 a pop on those things. So even then, while the limits were low, it was still worth it.
What are they down to now?
People are telling me it's like $10.
No way.
I don't know if they were joking with me, but they're telling me it's like so low, it's ridiculous to even talk about.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I mean, if that's what we're talking.
Yeah, I don't even know if it's worth ever talking about again if it's just that. But it's.
If you're any sports book out there, I don't even know what the number is. I'm going to go with the Kelly number here.
Are we booking or not?
This is the Kelly barometer. At least $100. Yes. If you can't bet $100 on something, don't post it.
$100 should be the minimum for everything. Did you think it was a good commercial night? Did you love a commercial?
No. Okay. So I didn't. We were all together for that first half downstairs. So I'll be honest. I didn't catch a lot of them. I did catch. I caught most. I was probably talking. Those guys probably hate me. You know me. I talk a lot.
No.
I caught most of the Dunkin' Donuts one, which you're telling me was the one that was the most popular tonight.
To me, that was the best ad by far.
Okay, because I felt like I watched the entire second half, and nothing was a great Super Bowl commercial. And I don't think they played the Dunkin' one again in the second half. No, it was in the first half.
The Dunkin' one was great because both J-Lo and Ben Affleck played their roles great, but Matt Damon stole the show with, like, his sarcastic remarks.
It's always his best roles.
It's
fantastic. When he, like, makes fun of himself or, like, it plays a wacky character.
It's so great.
That's what I think Matt Damon's at his best.
Yeah, that was the best commercial. I thought the former MLK speechwriter who did the anti-hate one, I thought that was powerful. But, yeah, to me, it was Dunkin' Donuts above all.
I'm going to have to watch it during the break.
Yeah. But not a, you know, like the game itself, not a great commercial night. And in some ways that game, and I get it, it was super competitive at the end. I know it was wonderful. But like the first 2.5 quarters, as you said, was so bad.
The end was amazing. The beginning sucked.
Yeah, exactly. So the commercial sort of followed suit, I think, in general. We'll come back. Jason Weingarten will join us. Levitard is next. DK Network. Coming back at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.